Yeah, it'd be good if you, yeah, if you are for Steve and Todd's questions now, right? So I don't know, you want to sit up the front or how you want to do this. Anyone got any questions?
These radiators are off full blast.
I know, yeah. You have to find a cool bit, won't you? Has anybody got questions then? Over in the middle there.
Question, you might have already talked about this earlier. I don't know. You said something about people disappearing, working for Searchlight. Why was that?
What is Searchlight?
It's like 19 litres of things.
Well, just I don't know, maybe you would say what Searchlight is first. Well, some people don't know what that is.
Searchlight is was set up in the 70s, and it was basically it was set up as a magazine, and it basically gathered intelligence and monitored the far right organisations and their links with paramilitaries and terrorist groups, and particularly in Northern Ireland and on the continent. Who were a much more serious business, you know, in Italy in particular, who were responsible for bombings, you know, Bologna train station is one in particular. So, and also the links that sort of semi-respectable right-wing parties had with these organisations, and like organising like the Monday Club, which was a far-right element of the Tories and stuff like that. And anyway, it was basically a gathering information and also, you know, it informed people as to what was going on. It was like a conduit for information so that people would know, you know, what was happening. And, unfortunately, it didn't suit some people because, I mean, I've still got a couple of friends there, you know, and we meet up and they're old friends, you know, but we don't always sort of like agree. With strategy. I mean, they've run the Hope Not Hate campaign recently, which, you know, some people will obviously have known about. And that was a great campaign, you know, it was sort of involved lots and lots of people, you know. Griffin got in, but it wasn't down to Hope Not Hate, you know, Searchlight. There's deeper reasons for that as well, you know what I mean? There's more political reasons. But unfortunately, Searchlight got. And it's down to the fucking left in general. They get involved in fucking politics, right? Party politics, issues to do with personalities, and you know, and I couldn't do that. I mean, I worked for the anti-fascist movement. I didn't work for fucking Searchlight and God knows what. I mean, I've mates in class war. I've mates in all sorts of groups and all that. And Searchlight did some things that weren't fucking good. You know what I mean? And they did go down a bit of a road which, you know. 75% of the stuff spot on, 25% absolute fucking bollocks, you know. And if people wouldn't have it, you know what I mean? That and I mean, people say in some so after the book came out, oh, don't read it. It's a Searchlight fucking spoiler, you know. It's dodgy. Tilsy works for the state. Fuck's sake, you know. He's dodgy. He must be dodgy because he worked for Searchlight. But you know, I'm sorry, but you know. I've never been offered enough money off special grants to fucking do it. So I'm not no, I mean it's just that, you know, well, that's basically what Searchlight did. And it does have a role, but unfortunately, you know what I mean. Some people
thought it was murky and sneaky.
Well, I think just to add a little bit of history, and people can butt in, but what actually happened was there's an article I've written by an investigative journalist called Duncan Campbell in the mid-80s, which basically argued that Searchlight was trading information with the state. Right? So it was trading information about fascist groups with the state, or trading other information about other political groups to gain information about fascists. Now, that was an article that was written at the time, and I happened to be in an organisation, and I mates with Steve and a few other people who were denounced as being fascist by Searchlight. So, you know, we have a few personal reasons for, you know, not being... but I think they obviously got it wrong. Well, they know they got it wrong, but the question is why they got it wrong. And so there is problems with some organisations on the left, particularly Searchlight, in denouncing certain groups as being fascist. And I think they just got it wrong. But there were other arguments that said there were conspiracies behind that, like trading information to the state. I might make a comment on that. But I think that's kind of the history that I know about from where I was youngster. But...
I was talking about the reason why it gained momentum. I think it has a resonance because it has an increased importance other than it deserved, because it really is just a research organisation that does research, and it has to be judged by the anti-fascist movement in that context, and it gained a certain reputation whereby it couldn't be questioned. So I was just saying the kind of movement felt at that time.
It did get significantly questioned in the 80s, though, by... Certainly, certain organisations walked out of conferences in support of people who'd been chucked out by search. And I know, for example, Red Action supported the group I was in. So I mean, I think there was division's credit. I think you're right, Hannah. There was, and we'll go back too much, but search I was questioned in the mid 80s, and because it had been as the sole organisation for a long time doing was research and investigative stuff. I think it was taken for as. It's kind of red for a long time.
If search like, I mean, some of the stuff we came across, right? I mean, we used to book the meetings, we used to do their bins, we used to do, stuff which are some journalists we fucking absolutely proud of, we were like, and we got some really, really heavy duty gear, right? It gets messy, fucking cat shit and cat litter and all the rest of it and all sorts of, but, and sometimes they screw it up and throw it away, even tear it up, And we're like, fucking hell, that's... And then we'd book meetings and we'd find out that we're going out to desecrate a Jewish cemetery. Now, you don't give that to the activists. You give that... You've got to give some of that to the cops. I'm sorry, but that's... You know what I mean? I mean, it's like 90% we can deal with. 10%, I'm sorry, but people's lives are fucking at stake there, and it's not something that they... In a perfect world, we could do it all. But not when it comes to, like, people's lives and stuff like desecrating cemeteries or firebombing members of the Jewish community, that. The problem was, we used to find this information out, and the cops would be more interested in how we got that, and I would say, you should fucking do it. Yeah. It's because you're not doing it, and you're famous. It's what, did you want to say?
Motives got confused.
Yeah.
Anyway. Sorry.
It was just 2 points. One, if you look at the history of this, countable prayer and stuff, this is standard techniques. The trouble with anarchists and very left organisations is that you don't send the police spy in to find information. You send the police spy so you can call whatever organisation a police spy, and then you send another police spy into that organisation so they can also call each other a police spy. The information is meaningless. It's so everybody is too busy bickering with each other.
Too paranoid. Yes. Looking at who's the branch guy. You know? Exactly.
And the second point, sorry, is that how did you go about infiltrating sort of right-wing groups, saying how would you recruit people to go inside as a technique, or just interested?
Well, I mean, Searchlight has done that as an organisation on their own back, and they've done it. I mean, usually it's somebody who comes over, has a change, like people like Ray Hill. I don't even remember Ray Hill. He was one of the most high-profile agents that the Searchlight had. He was a Nazi, he was a big hit. And that's where they usually come to. The Matthew Collins, who currently writes for Searchlight, works with Searchlight, he was a big hit, a Cover 18 guy. Darren Wells, the people. But, the only person that I ever put in was this guy called Phil, and he wasn't there long, but what he did and what he found out was fantastic, and the thing is, now you've got to understand that this was a young working class lad, and he was going in there, and the reason why he didn't last long, he was committed, he liked the adventure and the kind of like thingy stuff, we didn't pay him, we took him for beers and curries and some expenses, but this was our Manchester's thing. It wasn't Searchlights, this was something we did ourselves, and we shared that information to the people that needed to know it, but not everybody could, because then people start talking, and it's like, and that's why one of the things that I fell out with, or people got pissed off with me, was people in Afro Red Action, was because they thought I was withholding information, and there's one couple of references that they've made and about me and intelligence that I withheld stuff and that I stole sort of key intelligence. It's absolute garbage, you know what I mean? I work for the anti-fascist movement. Don't work for Searchlight, Red Action, or anybody else. I look after Manchester, my town, my city, and that's it, you know what I mean? So I've got no agendas, and I'm not hiding it. I'm doing it to protect our sources, or I'm doing it to protect innocent people. And you know, anyway, with Phil, he started going to these meetings, and some of these meetings got proper Nazi, you know what I mean? They were proper, like, because we were listening to some of them, you know. And they, fucking hell, you know, they'd have the main meeting, and then they'd have a little side meeting, and it was proper, like, fucking hell, have you seen this latest SS dagger I've got here? And you know, they, you know. And we monitored the Griffin in the 80s, sat in a foxhole with binoculars and night vision stuff and all that, watching him carrying on with his German comrades there. You know, where he was living in, well, he still lives at his farm in Welshpool. You know, that guy is, hasn't changed. Well, he's changed, he's
come quite slick.
He's come quite slick, yeah. But, yeah, up there, he's not changed. Not in the slightest. That guy is still as dangerous and still as big a fucking Nazi as he was then. You know, it is. We had this phase, didn't we? He went through this kind of like third positionist stuff and all that. I mean, he was going over to Libya and all that. You know what I mean? It was all this kind of like green book stuff. It was like heavy duty shit. You know what I mean? It was like, people say, is he a clown or is he clever? And I really don't know. I think it's kind of like he's capable. You know, he's certainly a. What makes me laugh is fucking BNP at the moment. You go on their website, and it's Team Black Country, Team This, Team That. You know what I mean? They've got into this sort of like. They're really beefing themselves up in the fact that they're more sort of like slick, more. Not BNP branch, but it's Team Black Country. And, wow, fuck off. You know what I mean? Not interested.
Yeah, it's just another strategy they've sort of evolved into, you know. But if they sort of took off in a few towns and a few more cities, you know, a few more councillors and what have you, I'm sure the mass could start to fall again.
Well, they did at the Red, White and Blue when they were burning that gold over the fire. These are people, mainstream people, were over the Red, White and Blue, they had a campfire and they got a golly one.
Yeah, a couple
and
of
had a mock execution. And these were councillors. Some of these were organisers. Saying, should we? He's guilty of being a pimp, a drug dealer, sleeping with white. And it was like clandestinely filmed by a News of the World journalist. So we're not fooled by all this kind of stuff, you know. Well, I'm not anyway. I mean, the majority of the people here aren't.
Well.
Well, what I was going to ask was how big a threat do you think the BNP are, but you sort of covered that. That's what I was going to ask, really, was how big a threat do you see them as a...
Well, the thing is, they've got two MEPs, yeah. That's given them a hell of a lot of a sort of like standing, hasn't it? You know, I mean, they've had councillors. It's not the same. They've had parish councillors. It's not the same. They've got two MEPs. You know, that's a bigger deal, you know. I'm not going to say they're going to walk, you know, on Parliament at any point yet. I mean, I do. I've got this little bit thing about myself. Is if we were in South America now, we'd have a fucking coup by now. You know what I mean? With everything that's going on. I mean, it's a bit hypothetical, but now we've got.
How do you mean?
Just by the crisis and the way that racism and everything else, the economy, you know, everything like that is just. I mean, it's totally hypothetical. It's a stupid fucking thing to say, in a sense. But I actually think that it's the most dangerous time I've ever been, I've ever lived in, since I've been involved in anti-fascist politics. And one of the things as well, another dimension that's been brought into it, is this EDL thing, this English Defence. And we've got them on Saturday.
Right.
You know, they're basically, you know. Now, some people are going, is it a state set up? You know, you've got your people like. Is it a state something? Some people say, or is it? Or in fact, could the EDL actually be a bad thing for the BNP? And I think the BNP are thinking, yes, it probably could be, because it is us who'll get the backlash. I mean, I actually think that they'll burn themselves out I think they will. I mean, they're in the fight.
Who will?
The EGL. Yeah. I think they will do. I think this is a...
Can I ask you, do you think the fascists will make a connection with the recession and workers' crisis? And
well, they have to, I think. Where, they have.
Is that what you're talking about? Did they make inroads into the... What was it?
Well, I think they have to. Yeah, I think the failure of the left, the Labour Party. That's it, you know, and obviously the cash... not cash questions, that's...
The sleaze
stuff, yeah. You know what I mean? And all that, that's played right into their hands, you know what I mean? And I mean, right, this time, in May, probably the next general election, right? I think it's harder to get MPs, but I think we'll get a shed load of councillors. I think on a local level, that can be bad news for people, you know?
When you're talking about the BNP and their attempt to become respectable and win votes and so on and so forth, what's that mean on the ground in the North West in terms of, you know, like the streets, how it used to be? Is it safe now for left-wing groups to operate? What does that mean for... organisations like Apple or anti-fascist politics,
is it
different across certain areas? I wonder, some parts you feel maybe safe in Bristol, but maybe a bit on the outskirts you'd think twice.
Like Burnley, for example, I've heard.
Burnley, really?
Yes,
with all its councillors.
If you went to a Burnley football match and you were at all left wing or whatever, what would happen to you?
It wouldn't be very pleasant, and that has happened once, but we had, our people up there, but. It's trickier now to do anything. The BNP have got this thing about respectability and all that. On a face level, they've got to appear as if they're not behind any. We've got this outfit called the British People's Party and the British Freedom Fighters, and they're in strike force and all these wacky arseholes, and they go around pushing people around and the BNP aren't doing that yet. They saw that as a little bit of an own goal, in years gone past when Tindall was at the helm. But it is tricky. I mean, they're going out and doing public events, like they picketed the town hall the other week when there was a black jobs fair on, and they had 20 people out, and there's no left there. I mean, I took a few photographs and all that, and I say, 20 years ago, these people have been completely obliterated. They've been run out of town, and they are doing, and they've got a pub in Manchester called the Ace of Diamonds on Oldham Street, which is like a headquarters for them, you know what I mean? The landlord there, a man called Derek Adams, super activist, and they operate from that, it's like their little beer cellar, it's hard to say because numbers don't always mean they're of a better quality, you know what I mean? It's kind of on a political level, they're doing more. The rights of the press, they're putting themselves on the stage. And since Griffin got elected, he's now opened up the headquarters in Cumbria and a satellite. I think they're going to open a satellite office in Manchester. And now, he's got that kind of legitimacy. And, it's up a step now. It's gone into another phase, and with the EDL meeting on Saturday, in fact, it's been a good thing in a sense because it's got people are beginning to gel.
Yes, loads of weird. Then
Do you believe that they're the street wing of the BNP or not? Because the BNP have had to change, they can't go on the streets themselves.
Yeah.
Is there not a case?
They're prescribed by the BNP, but that prescription, it's like.
It didn't stop fascists in the past being members of other groups, like in the 70s, NF members were also awful lot of them were card-carrying members of the openly Nazi British movement at the time, even though the NF said, you know, like, nothing to do with these. But the EDL thing, me and a couple of others, we support a team, FC United of Manchester. It's a breakaway football team. We set up United fans against the takeover of the Glazers in 2005. And we put out a leaflet sort of organising people who were asking us, are you going to that demonstration against the English Defence League in Manchester on Saturday? So we all knocked together a leaflet and sort of set up a FC United Fans Against Racism group. And because when the summer when Griffin tried to enter the town hall originally at Manchester, I noticed there was like 20 odd... So lads that I go to football with and women and whoever that all go to watch this football club. So the next time when he organised his press conference at that pub in Miles Platin in Manchester, the traditional left were there, what do you call it, for an hour, went away. But I stayed and I was speaking to people that lived on the estate and what have you, and they were giving Griffin abuse and shouting like, if you're coming to represent us, why don't you come out from behind the police and your bodyguards and come and talk to us? And these were white lads, black lads, you know, people of all colours, you know, that were living in, you know, not so great council houses, and were shouting at him, come out and speak to us, you know. And you know, he didn't. But I had better chats, discussions with the people that live round there that weren't fascist, but you know, that weren't sort of a sort of like people say, oh, some of these rough areas in Manchester are, you know, prone to fascism sort of stuff, but, you know, where the left wouldn't go, you know what I mean, where so as I say, I had a better time there with after the demonstration had left, chatting to people about the politics and stuff. But unfortunately I didn't have an organisation behind me, you know what I mean, it was just me as an individual, you know, talking about my experience of a 20 odd years of fighting the fascists. But just for the English Defence League, you know, like, you look at the website, it says we're not racist and what have you, but when you start looking at the videos on YouTube and stuff, you see sort of people that are BNP activists and from other right wing groups are there, and they're whipping up the young youth on it, and they're all shouting you know, some really filthy stuff against Asians and the seagulling, and and there's the skinheads there with dodgy t-shirts and what have you, you know, with the sunwheel symbol and stuff like that, and other various fascist insignia. So I think possibly with the BNP, they're aware of it, and they're probably thinking, you know, see how it develops and what have you.
For another time,
and it, you know,
not just yet.
Because you mentioned that you think they burn out. I mean, and I was thinking, well, you know, possibly the same that in Birmingham, you had a lot of people that weren't necessarily at the demonstration. I mean, I wasn't there, but this is the idea I'm getting, right? You didn't have a, you know, left movement or anti-racist movement there. They were there, but there was a lot of people that would just happen to be out for the day who just joined in with kicking them out. There were just particularly Asian lads who, you know, weren't politically affiliated with, you know, any party in particular that just got stuck in them.
I mean, some people say, you know, sort of grandma about that, they'll shut them down when they want to, because, you know, if you believe that they've been set up to deflect from the... Because that's what the BNP think. This is a state trap, you know. And it's like, on their website they say, we don't want any racists or anti-Muslim. I mean, they're against Islamic extremism and all that, but these are casuals, they're football hooligans. They just can't call for a peaceful demonstration, because they're not peaceful people.
No,
you know, the convicted hooligans, the people who like to fight, get arsehole and fight. You know what I mean? It's like that's so. It's a contradiction, really. I mean, it's a new element. You know what I mean? It's kind of like it's put a proper like spanner in the works and getting your head round it, but exactly how this is going to fucking move on. is, I don't know. I mean, and I think that it's quite even, you know, some of your analysts, you know, the people who try to work it out, I don't think they've even come up with an idea of what's actually happening, you know.
It's on that website, burning the swastika right at the beginning. You know, they're burning, and then there's a guy talking, and then there's two black guys, because they're all wearing balaclava, the whole lot of them.
Yeah.
You've seen that, and then the black guys are talking as well. That baffled me.
Yeah, because there's a guy from who runs the youth wing. He's a mixed race lad from Arsenal. 70s, Arsenal supporter.
They had that in the '70s when they had black members. I mean, just on that thing, they
had a token Jewish or token black. You know, just like one of
those. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
Not a new thing, is it?
No. Right, I've got. I'm going to just go over it quickly.
It's just I read an article today called "Who Are You?" and "Who Are You?" or something, and it's about someone involved in anti-fascist stuff for years. He's done some research into the English Defence League, and it's posted on UK Indie Media. It's called "Who Are You?" and it's from Schnooze. It's like research there, and it's got some really interesting information about links between the English Defence League and the BNP, and about the way that the whole media story is as though it all started in Birmingham, but it didn't. It started previously to that, and that they're now exploiting these images of Muslim youth kind of going back, you know, like retaliating basically, but not telling the previous story to that. So I can't remember all the information from the article, but it was quite a...
I mean, Searchlight have covered it on the last two issues as well, you know what I mean, which you can read online as well, but, you know what I mean, it's like, I mean, but independent research is good if, you know, if you're a dubious research.
Right. No, Ian?
Oh, I quite interested in finding out if there's any organisation going up to Newport, Bristol, or it's on the 24th, isn't it? Does anyone know anything about that? Is there any organisation up for anyone organising anything?
Can somebody say a bit more about it?
You said mention Newport before.
As far as I know, I don't know of anybody organised like a fast or something like that. That's what you're asking.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like the English Defence League or the Welsh Defence League, have basically done a sort of scattergun approach of where they're going to try and march. You know what I mean? They've applied at lots of different places, and they've got and they appear to have somehow been given permission in Swansea and Newport. It's the 24th of the meeting in. Oh God, I can't remember what. This is the English Defence League thing. Is meeting in. John Frost Square in St Newport, and they're trying to make it about the potential building of a new mosque there.
It's a church that's been as an application to turn a church into a multi-faith thing, which will have a mosque within it. So they're saying that this is like. It's got a war memorial in it, is what they're saying, but actually it's not a war memorial like you might understand. It's like a really small plaque, and it's not in any danger of being... This reconversion is being funded by some multi-faith agency or something like that. So, I mean, it's a complete... It's a smokescreen, but that's what they're saying, is that it's going to be turned into a mosque.
Anybody else got any questions? Over
here. Yeah, I was just wondering, the people involved... Most of the membership of people in the BNP and the National Front, how much do you think they are actually genuine enough in any real physical sense in terms of like policies or actual, rather than just being involved with Nazi memorabilia and all that kind of stuff and fighting? Well, do you think they are actually genuine Nazis?
I think look at the people who voted for them. Obviously not. Obviously like misguided people. It's not people, you know. People say, is it a protest vote? Well, you know, it's not a protest, fucking up. Sort yourselves out, you know. Fucking, you know, they obviously believe it is, you know. I'm not voting for the mainstream because we've been let down, you know. Talking about the leadership, yeah, I do. I mean, I know their backgrounds. I've been around long enough fucking hell, the likes of Griffin on. Mm. And we've seen evidence. Listen, they cannot fucking behave themselves. It's like when they burn that, that effigy, the red, white and blue. It's like when they're in their houses or in what they might think is a safe private arena. We hear them fucking carrying on, you know. And Griffin, for me, dangerous bastard, you know. He's some people say, well, that's like when John Tindall was a leader. He said, fucking great, we've got a right arsehole there who loves dressing up in boots and jack boots and all that, and he's still unapologetic fucking Nazi, yeah. Leave him in. We don't. When Griffin came in during the late 90s and won that leadership, people said, he's going to cop, you know, he'll cop up because he wasn't particularly well liked, and two, you know, he had a Nazi background, you know. He was not quite as bad as Tindall, but pretty unpleasant. But he's an egoist. He's definitely an egoist. But he has trained himself, you know. He has sort of like, you know, gone on a few management courses and all that, and obviously team this, team that, fucking hell, you know. He's obviously like, you know what I mean, he's got himself a little bit more fucking slicker, you know, and he's like, but listen, mate, don't, you know what I mean, it's like, nah.
But do you think we have any actual policies?
They've toned them down a little bit, well, they're toning them down, but once, you know, can you imagine if it got into
a position? Do you think we have plans for what we might do if they became councillors, or if they ran a council? Do you think we have any action?
None of them turn up for meetings. None of their councillors turn up for meetings, hardly. I mean, they've got the worst attendance records. And
that's my point. Do you think we have any actual... If they actually gain control of the council, do you think they have any actual...
Well, they've nearly got control in Dagenham, haven't they? And Stoke, haven't they? Trouble.
Where was it? In London, you've got the BNP council that was recently suspended from the council because he made up these murders in a couple of boroughs of London that he represented. He said there was a couple of knife incidents that people had died and stuff, and people had done the research on it and checked it out and found out it hadn't happened, but he was using it in his leaflets and whatever around a constituency, saying people were murdered, you know, by black youths and what have you. Just something come at mind about Griffin there, about how the respectability, he still hasn't stopped him going around the world meeting various ultra-fascist groups, ex-Ku Klux Klan members across the world. Yeah.
In Hungary.
Yeah.
You know, the Jobbik, like
they call them. Yeah, making all the links with all these right-wing fascist and Nazi parties across Europe and the world.
Yeah, sorry, what question here?
Is it an observation, really? It's more of an observation than a question, and I've just noticed that it's like, it's all very well looking at whether someone's associated with the Nazis and everything like that and all this kind of stuff, which is really useful if you can show evidence of that. But there is a danger that if someone comes along who isn't affiliated with any of these parties, yeah, it makes it more difficult to concentrate on what's actually wrong with the attitudes that the persons have, regardless of whether it's actually the underlying racism which is a real problem that exists in a lot of places. Yeah. So there are a lot of people involved in the high levels of the various parties. Can you understand what I'm saying?
I think what I do is I look at the Nazi all the time because it's my background. You know, what I mean? It's always it's a great question. Really.
To be fully ready and in terms of the information stuff and to talk to people and talk people around. Yeah. It's an extreme version of the people.
Isn't that related to the same point that this person made, that in terms of the political agenda
it's totally different. The point I'm making is that in terms of fighting these kind of organisations, they're getting cleverer and cleverer at hiding stuff, and there's probably even some people involved in them who aren't actually Nazis. So what I'm saying is, it's kind of quite useful to concentrate on the actual ideas that they have, regardless of even if they're not extreme racist views, they're incredibly damaging, is what I'm really saying.
Yeah. 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 Absolutely. Great point.
Who are the people above and beyond or behind the likes of Griffin?
In the aristocracy.
I mean, exactly. It's like the you know, the razor that the bosses use against. I mean, where does it stop? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, it could be a searchlight mode. That's fucking hell. I mean, when Ray Hill came out, I nearly choked on my cornflakes. I mean, honestly, I mean, it was like Ray Hill. He was deputy leader. John Tyndall, then he was it. No, I mean, that's ridiculous, but. No, I don't know. I mean, it's part of it. It's part of a network. You know what I mean? I mean, mm-hmm. Particularly in Europe, and even more so now that it's an MEP. You know, he's exactly. They've got. You know, they've obviously not got. Within the European Parliament, we have like groupings, and they've not managed to get involved in a grouping event of any sort of like nature. You know, which would give them more funds. It would give them more kudos. And, so they are still a bit out, you know, a bit out on a limb, but I don't know, you know, I wouldn't have thought so. I think, you know, I think that it stops at him on that sort of a level, you know.
Yeah.
Do you think it does?
I'd be surprised if it doesn't.
Well, then it's possible, you know what I mean? But, you know, it's like, it's another.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, I just thought, yeah, I mean, the obvious thing to say there is, like, you know, fascist parties historically, you know, they've been courted at the point where they have mass popular support. And that's at the point where, you know, like, famously in Germany, a big business, and, you know, and starts to talk. Because, I mean, that's when they've always had significant support in the business community. And I think, you know, that's the point where it becomes formalised, you know, where they're actually making political deals, you know. I mean, you talk about things like Rupert Murdoch, you know, whether Murdoch supports Tony Blair, you know. When you've got worries when Rupert Murdoch, you know, maybe decides to call it a fascist, like, you know, and that will happen if they've got mass popular support. And then you've got major national newspapers that are supporting them. I mean, obviously, they'd have the Daily Mail anyway, but they're supporting them in the 30s.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you get mass circulation newspapers supporting them, when you get the big business doing deals, you know, that's the point. So I personally don't think there is a conspiracy. But you've got to say, in the 1970s, there was, you know, like a plan for a coup d'etat in Britain, and, you know, Howard Wilson and all that. I mean, I wouldn't support, you know, there'd be sections of the state that would support them. You know, you got the geezer who's in the Prison Officers Association, even the police, and I bet there's a lot of coppers who, you know, would like to join the BNP and are not allowed to.
I mean, when we got sentenced, we got the 15 months for an activity up in Rochdale. The first fucking guy I saw in jail was fucking this Brian Baldwin, this column 88 guy, you know. And it's kind of like, fucking hell, and then the first when I got transferred from there, I was put in a cell with Kevin Turner from Skullhead, you know, that fascist band, you know. And I'm thinking, the next minute Castle, fucking Rudolf Hess would have walked around the cell.
Right, is there any more questions then? Yeah. Right, Alan.
I suppose this relates to intelligence, which you can interpret in a variety of ways, I suppose. But basically, I mean, I've had a few anti-fascist experiences, nothing like as many as generally say YouTube, but it's been a bit of a wild goose chase, where we haven't known where they are, where they're meeting, what they're doing. I mean, I got the impression from, say, some of what was said earlier on, you know, that was quite a key element of what you managed to bring to bear in Manchester, to actually focus what people had. And it's a bit of a how-to, really, because, you know, it has been quite frustrating.
I mean, we can run some workshops, you know, we can do that. I mean, but the thing is, if you don't trust the organisations that provide them at the moment, well, set up your own. It's, you know, that's as simple as that. I mean, you know, intelligence is like, it's half the fight. It really is. And that, we, you know, we can help. You know, I can help. Charlie can help. We can do that, because we're gonna need it. Certainly are. You know, because I see when I was involved in the '70s, almost a mirror image of what's happening now. You know what I mean? The level of intensity. And all right, they didn't have MEPs there and the amount of councillors, but on the streets, certainly. And it's got, like, everybody's talking about in the 70s and 80s, everyone was talking about the National Front. They were becoming the third party. They were getting big votes. It was only like Thatcher, arguably, that Thatcher, like, you know, stole their clothes off them, you know what I mean, when she she's, you know, come out with a Rivers of Blood speech, not, sorry, the Swamping speech.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, you know.
One more, is that all right?
Oh, sorry, it's a general point. I think there's a danger in making the Nazis synonymous with being racist. I think that there are certain areas of the fascists concentrating on which are not even covered by the left. For instance, Black Triangle Gang and the stigmatisation of the antisocials, because they don't have any support by the very nature. And if the Nazis and other groups, fascist groups like the New Labour Party, concentrate on that group rather than on race, they could be much more dangerous as a left.
Or do that as well.
Yes.
Perhaps, you know, definitely.
Right. I'm going to... Oh.
Well, I just... Someone was saying earlier, the fellow was asking about stuff going from Bristol to Newport. I was just going to say, there is something more to show about Newport. Because I've been talking to anti-fascists in Newport, and they're saying that they're... At the moment, it's looking like there will be a very broad front coming out of the meetings, eventually ranging from the mosques to the various parts of the left, to just people in the area. And at the moment, that sort of coalition or whatever, at least within Newport, seems to be holding, and yes, it's worth bearing in mind. And that includes the people who are definitely looking at a more militant approach to how to deal with them.
Right, we've still got time for a drink here, I think. Is that right? Yeah, so if you want to have a chat, I'd just like to say a massive thank you to Todd and Steve and Hannah for coming here, and especially to you.